Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Colossians chapter 1, we're in this section of verses 15 through 23, entitled The Preeminence of Christ. Preeminence means first place. The top guy, the head of everything, the preeminence of Christ. We saw in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, his preeminence in relation to God. That Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. That is, he is the image of the God, the invisible one. Image being exact likeness, the mirror image of who God is. The one who has is the expression of God extending and projecting himself through the time-space factor and taking up residency in a human body. We saw that from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Secondly, in relation to God, he is the firstborn of all of creation. Firstborn, prototokos, is a word of title. Some of the cults will use this to try to prove Jesus Christ is not God because he was firstborn. He is God's firstborn. This is a title of inheritance, a title of entitlement. He is the firstborn of all of creation. We saw in verses 16 and 17, his preeminence in relation to creation. We saw five prepositions that describe the Lord's relation to creation. For in him were all the things created. In him, in the sphere of Christ, all things were created. Things that are in heaven, things that are in the earth, both visible and invisible things. And then he lists ranks of angels, whether they are thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him. That's the second preposition. And for him, for his purposes. That's the third preposition. Verse 17. And he himself is before all things. He existed before everything. And fifthly, and in him all things have been held together. Christ holds all things together. And as we mentioned to you last week, scientists say that the makeup of the atom, the way it's configured, the way it's in its relationship, is that it should blow apart, not hold together. And years ago, they came up with a saying that it's being held together by atomic glue because it should not hold together. The Bible says Christ is the one who's holding all things together. And when he's through with everything, you can read about it in 2 Peter chapter 3, is that all things will explode and be burned up, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Christ will just let go. For us, it's important to understand not only does he hold all things together, the physical realm, for you and I, he holds us together. Even though in the human, we might fall apart, Christ is the one who holds us together and holds our life together so that our relationship with him never changes and his relationship with us never changes. This morning we have a very, very important message for you, and I encourage you to pay even closer attention this morning than usual for those of you who nap at this time. I would encourage you to stay awake this morning for this. The preeminence of Christ in relation to the church. Verse 18, the first part of verse 18. And he himself is the head of the body, the assembly. Notice I didn't say church. He is the head of the body, the assembly. And most, if not all, English major English translations use the word church instead of assembly. Three things I want to relate to you about this verse. First of all, he himself is the head. Now, it doesn't mean just the head meaning in charge of everything. It literally means a literal head. He is the head of the body. That which is in apposition to, not opposition to, but that which is apposition to or equal to the term church or assembly is the term the body. He's the head of the body, which is the assembly or the church. The body is Paul's term for all believers everywhere. We are called the body of Christ. And we are members of his body. And he is the head of this body. Not only in charge, but he is the head of this body. The body moves and is governed by what happens in the head. In this place, Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, that there is only one body, one Spirit, one Lord, and one faith. There's only one body. There's only one body of Christ. Not many, but one. And Christ is the head of that body. The body is not a system. The body is not an organization. The body is a living organism, a living body, with Jesus Christ as its head. But our main focus is on this term, the church. The body, which is the church, or more literally, the assembly, not the word church. And here is the reason why I want to emphasize that to you this morning, because it explains and reveals to us a corruption that has been down through the years and a corruption that you and I have had the effects of ever since we've been small. The translation for the word church or assembly is the Greek word ekklesia. In the Greek language, the word ekklesia, translated assembly, in the Greek language, it is never translated church. The word for church, there's two expressions, kure dome, dome being the dome, kure being Lord, the Lord's house. And if you look it up in the dictionary, they will tell you that our English word church, both found in the Bible and the one that we use in our English language, is only one derivative. It's only derived from one Greek word, kuriakos, which is the word for church. That word is never used in the New Testament. The word church was never used in the early church, if you will. In fact, the word for church, and I'll get to the word assembly here in a moment, the word for church, back in the 16th century, William Tyndale, who was the first translator to actually have the English Bible printed, In his translation, he did not translate ecclesia as church. He translated it as assembly. He never used the word church. The then known Roman Catholic Church considered him to be a heresy for not translating it church, and he was put to death. Martin Luther, the great reformer, in his German translation, he refused to translate the word ecclesia as church because of its identification with the man-made church of the day. And Martin Luther, in his German translation, he translated it community. Not assembly, but community. The word church became the official word used in the Bible when the King James Bible was made in 1611. The King James Bible translation of the Bible came from the old Bishop's Bible. And the 15 rules, you can look this up, the 15 rules of translation coming from the Bishop's Bible, the leaders of the church of the day said, you must translate ecclesia as the word for church, even though it doesn't mean that. From that point, from 1611 on, English translations started using the word church. So, the reason why they refused, the translators, early translators and reformers, refused to translate ecclesia church is because they, the reformers, they were in protest, that's why we're called Protestants, were in protest of the man-made church, which denotes religious system, that it is not of God, did not originate with God. It originated with man, and man is the head of the church, religious system, just like in our day. People represent Christ, but they're in charge. That's why I emphasize to you in our text, it says that Christ is the head of the body. It's not people. People might be used as servants or places of leadership. But human beings have no authority over God's church or God's assembly. The word for church is never used in the Bible for believers. Never. In Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 51, this was Stephen's message to the Jewish religious council of his day. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. He says, "The Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet said," Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. As the prophet says, quoting God, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. I have created all things, so what are you going to build for me?" After Stephen made these statements, this is to the religious council of the Jews, they put him to death. That was the beginning of the persecution in Jerusalem, where all the Christians scattered out, because once Stephen was stoned, then they decided they wanted to round up all Christians and put him to death. The Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. He doesn't dwell in buildings. They never called a building or a group of believers a church. It's not found in the Bible. Back to the word ecclesia for the word assembly. That's the noun form. It comes from the verb form ekkaleo. Ek means out of, and kaleo means to call. The word ekklesia and ekkaleo were originally in the Greek language used for community or city or public gatherings when an announcement was put on the bulletin board for an official city meeting. That was called the ekkaleo. That was called the summons or the calling out of the people. The people who responded to that summons or calling out, those people who gathered were called the assembly, the ekklesia, the called out ones. I almost got into mixing it up with somebody. I've done that lately, and it's served no purpose. But when people get on the internet, and one man said, this is under one of the language groups, he said, I heard a great message this Sunday, but the guy who was giving it messed it up by saying ekklesia means the called out ones. Well, ekklesia is the assembly of the called out ones. They are the ones who are called out that have assembled. And there are people who tout themselves as Greek experts that say, well, this called out ones is not a correct translation. Well, literally, it's assembly. It is an assembly of called out people. And why this is important is because the assembly of believers are the called out ones, but nobody emphasizes who does the calling. The Lord's the one who said in John chapter 6, that those whom the Father draws comes to me. People come and assemble together to learn of Christ because they are drawn and called out to do so by God Himself. They are the assembly of believers. The church? No. Not as church was known in its infancy days and as it has carried itself out in our days today. The Protestant reformers rebelled against the church being a man-made organization ruling over people in the name of Christ, and that it is corrupt. What have we done as Protestants? We've done the same thing. How many church systems do we have in Santa Maria? A couple of hundred at least. All representing Christ. No, there's only one body. There's not many different belief systems, even though that's what religion is. The assembly of believers, they are the called out ones. They're called out by God. This is any assembly. Any assembly of believers that have been drawn together by Christ for His purposes. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst. Where two or three are gathered. When Christ gathers people together for His purposes, He's there in His fullness. It's not something that is inferior to the building down in the corner that has the name on it, saying, well, we just assemble in our home and we get around the word, but the official meeting of believers is down in that building that has the name church on it. According to the Bible, that is not true. Any assembly drawn by the Lord together for His purposes to pray or to learn of Him or to worship Him, maybe in song. Church, down through history, has been the name that has been associated with and used for man's man-made church system, religious system. Listen to my words, because in anything that's made by man is not of God. He's not in it, the system. He's not in the church system. The assembly are those who are drawn by the Lord anywhere and at any time. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and you've probably heard this before. If you haven't been to church in a while, somebody's going to tell you Hebrews 10, 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's right, assembling of yourselves together. Didn't say go to church. That can be a license for people not participating with the body of Christ and say, well, I don't need to go to church. See, church is corrupt. No, but if you're of the Lord, you will be being called out to assemble together with other believers to be fed from the Word, to pray, to fellowship, maybe worship together. When we studied the various phases of Christian growth on Monday nights, I made a statement at the end of the three phases of Christian growth that I described for you. I made a statement that it is easier to be faithful and committed to a church system, easier than to be faithful and committed disciple of Jesus Christ. Most, not many, but most people who profess to be Christians today are devoted to and committed to a church system that has Bible readings and studies in it, that mentions the name of the Lord, that sings Christian songs. But they are committed and faithful to the church system, whereas to be faithful and committed to Jesus Christ and to be a disciple of Him and Him alone takes a surrender and sacrifice of oneself. To be committed to and serve in a church system, it doesn't require denial, unless you want to get along with others. But denying of self, so basically what it boils down to is this. Hard words, but think about it. When a person is more committed and more faithful to the church system than to Jesus Christ Himself and His Word, it's idolatry. It's taking the place of Christ. That's why most people prefer to go the church system route. Is the Sisquoc Community Church a church system? Yes. When you're not here, the various people that drive all the way out here to take pictures of the little country church, that's what they're taking a picture of. That's right. This is the church. It's the building. You know? Any man-made involvement with the building is the church. It's just man. Human beings, man, out of his own human resource, put the name up there, came up with the name. Applied to the government for a nonprofit religious organization status so that people can give their money. It's a money raiser is what it is. You need a tax write-off, give it to the church, help the Lord's work. So it's a fundraiser to go that route. Plus you're exempt from taxes. So man puts a church name up there, gets certified by the government as being an official church. And then all of a sudden, everybody who comes to that church or is in the vicinity of that church comes under now what the Bible says. Because doesn't the Bible talk about the church? That's not the church the Bible's talking about. If I go to a church and they're teaching false teaching and you're complaining about it and I'm not getting fed. And well, are you putting your money in the pot? are you going there and supporting it with your activity and with your effort? Then you are supporting false teaching. You're just as responsible as the person in the pulpit teaching the false teaching. Christians need to understand that when we gather together on Sunday mornings, the gathering is both of the church and of the assembly. There are people who go to church because it is their duty as Christians, and when they're outside of church, they have no realization, no consciousness of Christ being with them whatsoever, but they put in their time and they commit their duty to the church and do their church work and do whatever they do. But outside of church, they display no awareness of Christ at all. But then there are people who gather together who are the assembly, who've been called by God to come to Himself and to His Word and to get ministered to by His Word. That's why a few weeks ago we had people come and say, a couple of families come and say, well, we're just out here. We heard your messages over the internet and thought we'd come out and check it out because we're looking for a new church. Now, I've told you before, and I didn't have a chance with them, obviously, because they showed up. But I've told you before that if somebody comes to you and says, well, we're looking for a new church, we thought we'd come out and try Sisquak. And I've encouraged you to discourage them from that, because if you're looking for a church, you'll be very disappointed. Do we have a church here? Yes. It's very limited. If somebody took the sign down and broke it in pieces and dissolved the organization, I could care less. We just keep doing the same thing we're doing. But if they're looking for a church, what they're saying is, we're looking for a system for all of our kids. Go put them off in the various rooms. Let these teachers put them through the Christian religious system and sit through a programmed church where people practiced to put on a performance. According to our text, Colossians 1:18, Jesus Christ Himself is the head of the body, the assembly. And I will keep using the word church because that's the way I was raised too. But every time I say it, I cringe and probably will continue to do so. I should use the word assembly. It's just an assembly of believers. It's not a human system. It's a group of believers that have been drawn together by the Spirit of God for the Lord's purposes, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's also why I have said in the past, if you want to find out who a person really is, if you want to realize who you really are, picture the government coming down and closing down all of the churches. Maybe even going as far as forbidding people to read the Bible. What do you have left? If you take away all the props, all the physical elements, what do you have left? Is Jesus Christ living inside of you? Is He real? Is there a real living relationship there? Corrie Ten Boom's. There was a film out from her book, The Hiding Place. Talked about her in prison camps and how they would, as women, they were tortured by the prison guards. And she remembers, recounts one time where she and her friend, they would pray together. They'd get under the blankets at night, under a blanket, and pray together. I don't know if they had a light or not, but so that the guards wouldn't see them praying. But they got lice in their hair at one time. And Corrie Ten Boom said that she cried out to the Lord. You know, being a prisoner in a prison camp, a concentration camp, is bad enough. But now to have lice and she was crying out to the Lord for help. Well, as time went on, the prison guards didn't even want to go near the ones that had lice in their hair. And so she began to praise the Lord. Well, that's pretty smart. Pretty smart, because now they were locked up, but they weren't persecuted anymore because the guards didn't want to go near them because they had lice. And so she learned how to walk with the Lord. She didn't have a hymnal. They didn't have any music. Didn't have a Bible. But yet they prayed together and encouraged one another together with the scripture verses that really meant a lot to them. And as they depended upon their fellowship and just with the Lord himself to get through it all. No church, no system, no religious system. Jesus Christ himself is the head of the body of Christ, the church, or the assembly, more literally. There is a relationship there. There is the same as Jesus saying in John chapter 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. We're connected. My life is running in to your branch, and it is my life is producing fruit. There's a relationship there. Same way in the assembly of believers. He's the head. We're the body. We're the various parts of the body of Christ. But we are the assembly. The ones who have responded to the drawing of Christ to assemble together in his name and for his purposes. But it is not a man-made organization called the church. That is why you and I have such frustrating times dealing with religious organizations, whether it be churches or religious schools or whatever the case may be. It's all, the system itself is man-made, period. Man is the source. Man is the one who runs it. In the Lord's name, yes, but he's not. The Lord's not doing it. And that's why it comes out so corrupt. But here in America, we have a combination of an assembly and a church trying to function together, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There are those who are called to be in churches for the sake of ministering to those who go to that church. But to support it and to work and make it work is idolatry. It's taking the place of Christ and doing something that is of man and not of the Lord. Hard words, I know, but I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. The word for church in Greek is never used in the New Testament. Never. It was never translated church, but the church organization in charge at the time at the Protestant Reformation, they were called the church, and they insisted that the word assembly be changed to be translated to be called church so that they would identify with their organization as being ahead of all Christians. If they're the church and we're the assembly, you see, it's like, so what do you guys have to do with us? Why are you telling us what to do? Why are you lording it over us if you're the church but we're the assembly? So they made all references to assembly in the English translation to be changed to the word church so that it would identify with the human organization. That's what it is today. Where all these names come from? Sisquoc Community Church. Such and such Lutheran Church or Presbyterian Church. Or any kind of church name. Where did it come from? Man. We made it up. We got in a church organization and decided, hey, I can do this. It's kind of like going self-employed. Why should I work for somebody else and earn them money? I can open up my own church and do the same thing. I find it interesting, even in our day with the over 200 quote churches, unquote, that we have in our day, is if someone will come into town and say, I'm a church planter. We're here to plant a church. It's like, what? We don't have any here? What? It's their own brand, you know. It's got to be a certain name and a certain brand. Well, we're not like them. We do things differently. Okay. Same Bible, but we do things differently. That's why things are so frustrating in the church system. God's Spirit's not in it. But people find their security in it. And the satisfaction for the duty that they are to perform for God, which is unacceptable. So those who serve the church system rather than Jesus Christ are committing idolatry. It's what they view as their God or their representative of God rather than God himself. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, that the truth of history and the truth of your word is very striking. We have all experienced the frustration of religious systems, of dealing with human beings who are in charge, but all in the name of God. We know from the truth of your word that Jesus Christ is the head, not a human being. That he is the head of his body, the body of believers. The body of believers worldwide, not individual groups. That you are the head and we are the body and we are the body parts that you are forming to function within your body for your purposes. We are the assembled ones, assembling, whether it be in this building. Someday it might not be in this building. Someday we might be in somebody's home or out in the park. But wherever we are assembled, we pray that we are assembled under the guidance of your Spirit for your purposes to minister and manifest Christ to us. We pray that you would help us with these words and with the word from your word to understand the difference between the assembly of believers and the church of man that man has made in your name, even using scripture. But we pray that you would help us to see and understand our frustration, why we get frustrated participating in religious systems or religious things that are supposed to be honoring to you, and yet we come away empty and frustrated because there's no spiritual life in it at all. Help us to understand our fellowship and relationship with you, that you are the head, we are the body. We receive our nourishment and life and leadership from you, the head. We pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand these things. In Jesus' name, amen.